Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome, brother. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks, Lord, that through all the darkness of our lives, through anything we go through, Father, that there you are. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings upon our lives. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son not to judge us, Lord, but to save us, to sacrifice for all of our sins, to be the light in this dark, dark world, that we may be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today my sermon title is kind of long, right? For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Amen. Amen. So today's text is it's the last section of Jesus' ministry before the crucifixion. And we kind of went back after Passion Week. We went back and went before it again. So, but these verses are going to summarize the first 12 chapters of John. Okay, so it's kind of a summarization of where what we've covered all the way up to this point. So, it's been said that a dying man's words are among the most important words of his life. And so it is with Jesus, as we're about to discover the things that are most important to him. Amen? And that's what he's going to be talking about. Now, some of these things are not easy to receive, but we are not called to sugarcoat the words of the Lord. Amen? We grow in our faith by hearing the inherent word, right? No fluff. That's how we grow in our faith. Amen? Amen. So the first verse says, verse 37, even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe. Amen? They still would not believe. Leslie Weatherhead wrote, the opposite of joy is not sorrow, it's unbelief. The opposite of joy is not sorrow, but unbelief. On the corner of Park Row and Beekman Street in New York City, there it is, where Horace Greeley's statue now stands, stood a man offering $20 gold pieces for $1 each. All day he kept up loudly announcing his wares, but of the thousands of people that passed him, most of them paid no attention, and others either laughed at him or scowled at him. He's trying to give them a $20 gold piece for a dollar, right? And they're just laughing at him. So about 15 minutes before 6 o'clock, he was about ready to quit. And a woman timidly approached him, and after carefully investigating the gold piece by biting it and throwing it on the ground and looking at it and making sure it was real, she reluctantly paid the dollar and she put the gold piece in her pocket. 10 minutes later, just as the man was about to go home, the woman reappeared, accompanied by two of her friends, and between them, they purchased all the rest of the man's gold pieces. So they paid $8 for $160 in gold pieces. And so the next morning, and for several following mornings, the street was crowded for blocks with this lady leading all these people looking for the man selling the gold pieces, right? But he never reappeared again. He never appeared again. So the story is known to be true. And Horace Greeley, the man on the statue here, he's responsible for the incident. It was a demonstration of his theory that most poverty is due to the fact that the general public refuses to believe, even in the face of all this evidence, you know, that they still refuse to believe. And that's the point. That, you know, a lot of times, even when the people have all this evidence, we still refuse to believe. So, how is it possible that after all the signs or miracles that Jesus performed, that they still would not believe, right? How is it possible? All this evidence and still not believing. Well, here's John's answer to that. In the next verse he says, this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And In Ezekiel, which we were covering in our Bible study, Ezekiel 4:7 says, "Turn your face towards the siege of Jerusalem and with bare arm prophesy against her." Once again, it's talking about the arm or the hand of God. The judgment of God is what they're talking about. Okay? So, the next verse says that He had blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they could neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn and I would heal them. So, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about Him. So what is Isaiah saying here? Why would God make it so that they cannot believe? Why would God want them not to believe, right? Well, let's look at some of the history of God's people and some of the unbelief of God's people, okay? Remember the enslavement in Egypt of the Jews in Egypt, right? 400 years they were enslaved. 400 years, and God rescues His people. He rescues them from generations of slavery, right? He shows all the plagues that He put upon Egypt. He parted the sea, and still they would not believe, right? Still they didn't believe. And so they complained, and they actually contemplated going back to Egypt, right? They're complaining about being saved from all this from being a slaves, right? So, seriously, they're thinking it was better to be a slave than to continue on, right? So they weren't believing. They started to worship an idol, right? Then they start to worship an idol, and they reject God that just performed all these miracles for them, right? So they're rejecting God. And sometimes it's not so different today, you know? How many miracles have we seen just in our little church, right? And yet some people still lose faith, and they still believe the lies of the devil, and they lose their faith and they stop coming to church, right? And it's like, after how can we see all these miracles going on and then lose our faith, right? So it still happens today. And following the Lord wasn't easy then, and it isn't always easy today. It's not always easy to follow God. God never said that it would be, right? God never said it was going to be easy. But the devil loves to tell us how much happier we're going to be sinning than worshiping. Amen? He loves to tell us that every day of our lives. And how much happier life will be, you know, without all these rules and just all the lies of the devil telling us, right? But remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about My weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, that's when God is strong.'" Amen? But remember, not all the eyes were blinded, okay? Not everybody's eyes were blinded. The next verse says that at the same time, many, even among the leaders, they believed in Him. They believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. So even though they believed, they wouldn't acknowledge, right? They were worried about receiving praise. They were more worried about receiving the praise of the people than they were about receiving the praise of God. Amen? And their fear was keeping them from expressing their faith. And that happens a lot today, right? All over the world, right? But remember something similar in chapter 9 when Jesus healed the blind man, right? He healed the blind man on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees were investigating the miracle. And they interrogated the parents. Remember, they interrogated the parents. And the parents refused to say anything about Jesus. Instead, they said, "We know He was born blind, but how can He see now? We don't know." Then they put it on their son, and they said, "Ask Him, He's of age," right? He's of age. They must have really feared the Pharisees to throw their own son under the bus like that, right? I mean, they were really in fear of these Pharisees. And the fear is very prevalent in the world today. And rightly so. Many Christians are persecuted and even killed or martyred for their faith all around the world. They say that more Christians have been killed in the last 100 years than in all the history of the world. And we're so blessed in this country to be able to worship freely in this country, at least for now. Amen? But I think at least in our country, a lot of our younger generation are afraid of what other people might think, of what people think about their religion or about their faith. Amen? But not all of our younger generation are ashamed of the gospel. In the Christian rap community, 116 is a common term or a number. The next slide. There it is. 116. It's a common term or number that they repeat to remind us to never be ashamed of the gospel. And 116 represents Romans 1:16, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." Amen? What a great message to send not only to our youth today, but to everyone who listens to the Word of God. Amen? 116. So if you hear some kid throwing up a 116 gang sign, it's all good, all right? It's all God. Amen? All right? I don't know how they do it, but you know. It's all good. Or if you see that sign there, a lot of the kids got this tattoo on their arms too, huh, Stevie? Right? A lot of the rappers, the Christian rappers do. Lecrae and you know them all. You know them all. I don't know them all, but I do listen to some of them. It's Christian. It's Christian rap. So the rest of verse 42 says, "Some believe, but were afraid to confess it because of fear of the Pharisees." Remember that they were the high and mighty religious leaders of that day. The Pharisees were the high and mighty religious leaders. And if you did not agree with them, you could be put out of the synagogue. And that was their greatest fear, being put out of the synagogue. Imagine that, being put out of the synagogue or actually being put out of the church for believing in Jesus, right? Being put out of the church. What is that about, right? But this still happens today. Amen? Still happens today in a lot of churches. Brothers and sisters, we have a triune God. A triune God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And anyone that says different is preaching a false gospel. Amen? Father, Son. There it is. The Trinity. Amen? So as verse 43 says, "These so-called believers loved the praise of the Pharisees more than the praise from God." Maybe they were just more comfortable and felt safer in the synagogue, right? Do we sometimes backslide in our faith because it's more comfortable, right? A writing from the Gospel of Life said, "Do not be like these believers who put self-concern ahead of their devotion to God. Step out, whatever the cost, and let your belief in Jesus Christ, in Jesus as the Christ, be known. In that way, you will have God's approval." In that way, you will have God's approval. Now, that's what I want. I want God's approval. Amen? I'm more worried about God's approval than the approval of the world. I want the blessed assurance of God's approval concerning my life and everything I do. Because I know how dark and difficult life can be without it. And I know how scary life can be without it as well. Amen? Then there's that little thing called eternal life as well, right? Amen? That should be at the top of our list as well. We want to be comfortable and safe for the short time that we have here on earth, right? But what about eternity? What about eternity? I once heard a pastor explain how long eternity is. And I know I've told some of you people this story before, or this explanation of how long eternity is. Imagine all the sand on all the beaches in all the world. And imagine one pigeon, okay? Picks up a pebble of sand off the beach and flies all the way to the moon. And sets the pebble down on the moon and flies all the way back. And does this until he gets every pebble from every beach on the earth and puts it on the moon. Okay? Imagine that. How long would that take, right? Well, not quite. But we compare that to the likeness of 1 second of a 100-year life on earth. And then some. Okay? That's just a little example. I mean, eternity is forever, but just to give you a little taste of how long that actually is. Amen? So, we should be putting Jesus first in our lives. Amen? But even if we don't, God will still use us in the things that we do for His good. He uses everything for His good. Amen? When He wants to. He doesn't always do it, but when He wants to, He'll use the bad things for His good as well. Amen? We all make bad decisions in life. Many men in the Bible made bad decisions in life as well, but God still used them, right? God used Judas for His purpose, right? And for the good of us all. Amen? God used Joseph's brothers to deliver Joseph to Egypt for God's purposes and for the good of Jacob's family and to save His people, right? God uses everything, and that is the sovereignty of God, that He can use everything. And that He uses everything, even stupidity. Amen? Even stupidity. Pastor Rolf knows what I'm talking about. Some of us think, though, seriously, some of us think that we've messed up our lives so much and made so many bad choices that God can't use us. Amen? And or that He wouldn't want to use us. But if God could use all these bad men in the Bible and all the bad decisions that they made, you know, for His good, why not us, right? Why not any of us? But don't use this as an excuse to sin, okay? Just because He can use it don't mean we need to do it, right? Because sin will still bring pain and steal our joy in our lives, amen? Whether we're forgiven or not, it will bring pain and it'll take our joy away, amen? The Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He calls us to be His hands and feet in this world. We are called to witness to those who are unsure and witness to those who are unbelieving. Sherm Nichols wrote that even if they're unsure of it, most people want to believe in heaven. And most people have some concept of it. Time magazine took a poll some time ago, and 81% of the people they surveyed said that they believed in the existence of heaven. 81%. Still, there's that other 19%, right? There's the other 19%. So, Robert Ingersoll was an atheist. He was a famous anti-Christian propagandist in the days after the Civil War. And once, in front of a large crowd, Ingersoll pulled out his pocket watch and gave God 5 minutes. He said, "Strike me dead or be disproved." After all, didn't the Bible record where God struck men dead for blasphemy? Then let me do that now. Holding his watch, he blasphemed God and then counted off the minutes. So he's challenging God. He's saying, "Strike me dead right now if you're real." Amen? So the crowd counted too. As 1 minute went by, 2 minutes went by, 3 minutes, 5 minutes went by, okay? And nothing happened. Ingersoll snapped his watch shut and he said, "There, you see, there is no God or I would be dead right now." When Joseph Parker, a British preacher, heard about it, he said, "And did the American gentleman think that he could exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes?" Right? Ingersoll was a friend of Phillips Brooks. So this guy that did the thing with the watch, he was a friend of a man named Phillips Brooks, the man who wrote "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Okay, when Brooks became seriously ill, he requested that none of his friends come to visit him. He didn't want anybody to come see him. But when his friend Robert Ingersoll, the atheist, came to see him, he let him come right in to see him. Amen. And Ingersoll told him, "I appreciate this very much, especially when you aren't letting any of your close friends see you." And Brooks told him, "Oh, I'm confident of seeing them in the next world, but this may be my last chance to see you." Amen. So Robert Ingersoll died at the age of 65 in 1899. Notices of his death were printed in all the major newspapers of New England. And in every one, as part of the funeral notice, there was a single very ironic line that said, "There will be no music." So I'm confident that Robert Ingersoll is now a believer. Amen? Amen. Amen. So in verse 44, Jesus says, "He came as a light so that people should not stay in the darkness." Came as a light so we should not stay in the darkness. The metaphor between light and darkness is common throughout the Bible. In what they say and in what they mean spiritually, but there is a difference between what they mean spiritually and the reality or what we see here on earth. Amen? So day and night, illuminated in darkness, that's here on earth, okay? But spiritually, there's a very powerful difference between night or light and darkness. You got righteous and wickedness. Amen? Righteousness and wickedness. Hope and despair. Truth and falsehood. But mostly between eternal life and eternal condemnation. Amen? Once again, we're talking about eternal life. Jesus came as a light unto the world that we may see where we are going. No longer walking in the darkness as some of us were. The world does not create its own light, only darkness. Without Jesus, we are in the darkness of this world. We are in the darkness of sin, and that is not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. In John 3:19 through 21, it says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead of the light. Their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." You know, it's not always easy to come into the light. To admit your faults, to admit your failures, to admit your sins and ask for forgiveness, it's not easy. In the 12 steps of recovery, step 4 and principle 4 are usually the hardest, especially for the newcomers, because we are confessing our faults to ourselves, to God, and to someone we trust. It's called inventory, and it brings our sins and our secrets into the light. It may be our hardest step, but that just means that it brings the most healing, being our hardest step. When we live in the light, we live in the truth. No longer live in a lie. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Confess your sins, live in truth, and step into the light. Amen? And lastly, Jesus' words. "If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them on the last day." Following the Word of God is a matter of our salvation. We will be judged by these very words that Jesus has spoken. God's Word described. An unknown writer said, "This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven is opened, and the gates of hell are closed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide your feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ, yes, to glory itself. It will lead you to eternity. All of this is temporary. All of this is temporary. Amen? But this is eternal. Amen? Amen. Final verses say, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that His command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." The words of Jesus are the words of God, the triune God. Amen? In order to receive salvation, we must follow His words. Remember in chapter 6, some of His disciples turned and stopped following Him, but the 12 knew His words brought eternal life. It says, "From this time many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him." Jesus said, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" To the 12. And Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter knew these were the words of God. If you believe in Jesus, you believe in the Word of God. We cannot separate the Trinity. Amen? Our beliefs in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit work together to build up our faith. Romans 10:17 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." The more we read the Word of God, the more our faith grows. 15 minutes a day? Imagine if we could make that 15 hours a day. The spiritual growth would be amazing. But when we stop reading His Word, the opposite happens, and we fall back into darkness. Jesus didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. Step into His light and be saved. Amen? God's peace be with you.